This may be the last time. This may be the last time. This may be the last time. It may be the last time. I don't know. Oh, this may be the last time. Oh, this may be the last time. This may be the last time. It may be the last time. I don't know. It just came to mind as I came up. That's a song that brings back a lot of memories of old country churches back in the South and people gathering together, having fellowship and loving one another and working together for the cause of the Lord. Tonight I'm going to ask that you turn your Bibles to the book of, I know I announced it in the bulletin, Isaiah chapter 8, but we're going to digress and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and I want us to look at a few verses there. Second Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 5, you'll be able to find these words recorded there in your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. You might want to commit these verses to memory. I always try to make a point to try to memorize certain verses, and once you memorize them, they just stay with you over the years. You just have to every now and then kind of brush up on them because you might miss a word or two, but you got to know the general idea of how it goes. But this is one of my favorite verses because it warns us, or it tells us, it encourages us to orient ourselves from time to time. We all got to kind of check ourselves at all times and find out where we are in terms of our journey. Most of us, when we go out on a journey, every now and then we travel, we follow the map and all, but when we stop at the rest station, we might ask, where's the next town and how far we've gone and all that. That's all about getting oriented. And in our spiritual journey, it is analogous to that type of situation, where it becomes necessary for us from time to time to examine ourselves. Sometimes we think we got this thing all pinned down, and we think that we've got everything under control, but sometimes situations and circumstances have us under control. I always tell a story, you probably heard me tell it a dozen times if I told it once, that my boys were wrestling one time, and it was about three or four of them, they had jumped on old Joe and they had him all pinned down. And Joe was down there, and one of them had his arms down, another had the other arm down, and a couple of them had his legs. And I said, "Joe, you need help?" And Joe said, "No, that's all right, Dad, I got him." That's where a lot of us are. Things sometimes have us pinned down, and we still think that we're in control of the situation. And when it comes to our faith, we need to stop and examine ourselves and find out where are we in terms of our faith. And if our faith is not right, if our faith is misguided, if our faith has been misapplied or misappropriated in any way, we need to stop, turn around, and go back and do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. So I'm going to ask that you would read with me 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And I'm going to begin reading at verse number 5. Here the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 5, "Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves." That means to test yourself. Sometimes you think you got something, but you don't have anything at all. Know your own selves. Not only do you prove your own self, test yourself, but you've got to know yourself. Know your own selves, how that Christ, Jesus Christ, is in you. except ye be reprobates. So I want to use as a lesson tonight, if you'll permit me to use as a lesson, I want to use as a lesson, examine your faith. Examine your faith. First of all, in terms of faith, there are those who think they have faith in God, but they really have no faith at all. Okay. They think that just because they know that there is a God, or they've heard about God, they think, well, you know, I've heard people all of my life talk about God. And if all of these people talk about God, it must be something to it. Even though I've never had a relationship with him, even though I've never committed myself to him or really know him that well or have experienced him in my life, I've just heard what other folks say. And so I'm just basically going along with the crowd. I've never really trusted God. I have never really put my emotions in and wrapped up my feelings in him. I have nothing to do with him from that standpoint. It's just what I've heard about him. And if you ask those people, what do you think about God? You have faith in God? Oh, yeah, I believe it's God. But they don't really have faith in God at all. It's just they're motivated by and moved by what they've heard and seen in other folks. And then there are some people who are just so blatant, just they'll come right out and tell you, I don't believe in God at all. How can a rational thinking human being believe in something that he's never seen, heard, felt, tasted? How can he ever believe? If he's an intelligent human being, how can he believe in God? The Bible has a word, and God has a name for people like this. The Bible calls them fools. The Bible says the fool has said it in his heart. There is no God. God says you got to be a fool to look at all of this stuff around you and look at yourself and the things that make you up. And you deny that I'm not here. You deny my existence. You deny my God does not only exist, but the Bible tells us that in him we live, move, and have our being. Sometimes we think of God as being an absentee landlord. You know, God created everything, and then he went off somewhere and took a vacation and let stuff run by itself. No, God is active right now. Amen. Active in every individual life. Amen. And yet there are people who say, there's no God. All right. The very person that's saying that, in many cases, God is allowing their hearts to beat, allowing them to breathe the air that he created. And God just keeps on being good to folks like that. You may be one of those people that think you have faith in God, but do you really, really have faith in God? The Bible tells us something about faith, that faith will always demonstrate itself in works. True faith will demonstrate itself in works. Best example of that in the Bible is when God told Noah, God said, Noah, I'm going to send it rain. I'm going to send rain on the earth. And I want you to build an ark of gopher wood. Now, Noah could have said, well, Lord, if anybody can do that, I believe you can. And I've heard other folks say that you've worked in their lives. But I've never seen you do that for me, so I have my doubts as whether you're really going to do that for me. And so Noah could have sat there on a tree stump somewhere and not do what God said. But because the Bible said that Noah believed God and he was moved to the saving of his house. Noah's belief in God made him get up and find a hammer and some nails and go for wood. Huh?
Amen.
But there are those who say, I got faith in God, but they never do anything for God. They never commit themselves to anything related to God. They never give any. They never sacrifice for God. If you believe in God and you have faith in God, then your faith ought to motivate you and make you do the will of God. Then there are those who, they are a little bit better off. They have some faith in God. They believe in God when it's convenient to believe in God. They believe in God when they need something. And then they trust in God. When they read certain things in the Bible, they'll say, well, you know, I've never seen anybody walk on water. But it could be possible that somebody could give sight to the blind. But I don't really believe that a leper could be cleansed. But I believe this and I believe that. And it's just almost like a cafeteria style meal. They just go down with their little tray and they pick stuff that they like and that they want and that they're willing to believe. Huh? Cafeteria style religion. I believe this, I believe this, I believe this, but I don't believe everything about the Lord. And let me tell you something about faith in God before we get too far into the lesson. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11 says, let me tell you something. You cannot in no way please God without complete confidence and trust and faith in him. Amen. God says, I know Jesus said, if you have the faith as a grain of a mustard seed, which is little like this, you can move mountains. Right. But let me tell you something. Everybody, their faith usually starts out at this size here. Right. But God don't want that faith to stay there. And that's where a lot of you are. You still got mustard seed faith when you're supposed to have collard green faith. Did I say that? I don't know where that one came from. Your faith's supposed to grow. The Lord said, I can understand you having a little faith at the very outset of your relationship with me because we haven't had an experience together. We haven't had a relationship together. You don't know enough to pull your foot confidence in me. So that's why it's little. But if you put faith in me, I'll help it to grow if you allow me to. Amen. But a lot of you are still right there with that little, as they say, and take a little teeny faith. Teeny weeny faith. There are those, even in our audience tonight, who have that kind of faith. Sporadic faith, haphazard, just here, I believe today, I don't believe tomorrow. My faith is just up and down, instead of it being constant and trusting in God. Wherever life throws at you, it stays and it remains the same. There are those who have some faith in God. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 30, if you care to read that, you'll see a very important lesson here. The Bible says that Jesus called people like this of little faith. Matthew 6 and 30, Jesus said, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast away, cast into the oven, right now, you can look if clouds weren't there, look out all these beautiful hills. See how beautiful and green they are right now? Because they've been watered and the grass, but give them a few more months and everything is going to be brown and dried out. It's going to die. And you know what's going to happen next year if the Lord's willing? That same cycle and process is going to be over and over again. The grass is going to grow up, make grass seed. The seeds are going to be planted in the ground. Those that brought the seed are going to die out, and the cycle continues over and over again. God keeps the cycle going. God provides so that every time you look at that mountain, you're going to see either dead or live grass. Huh? Now, if God is so concerned about little minute things like grass, don't you think that you are more valuable to God than those things? Don't you think that God will take care of you? That's essentially what Jesus is saying here in verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, that's burned or thrown away, shall not he much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? There are some of you right now, if you would be honest with yourself, you say, well, you know, I got a little faith in God, but it ain't what it really supposed to be. But I have little faith in God. But God doesn't want you to stay there. God wants you to grow your faith. And the way you grow your faith in God is keep putting your trust in him and taking him at his word. And let him show you what he can do. God said, just keep your faith in me. Don't be discouraged. Don't let folks discourage you. Then there are those who do have faith in God. Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 10. There was a man that came to Jesus one day, a centurion. And he came to Jesus and he said, Lord, in verse 6, he said, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy. He's paralyzed. Palsy means that he's paralyzed. He's grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. But just speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. This man said, Jesus, I'm not even worthy for you to come to my house. Just speak the word, and I'll take you at your word. I heard what folks have been saying about you. I believe in you. And I believe if anybody can heal my servant, you can do it. Even if you're not there.
Right.
All you need to do is speak the word. Speak the word. And my servant will be healed. For I am under great authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this soldier, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to this servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. You say, this man got faith. I've not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. Hebrews 11 and 6, again, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Here's a man who was a centurion, wasn't even one of God's people, a Gentile Roman soldier. And Jesus said, y'all supposed to be God's folks? This Gentile got more faith than y'all got. Lord, have mercy. But there are those of you who have some faith in God. But then there are those who have faith in God, but at some point, they allow foolishness to disrupt their relationship with God. I call this diminished faith. At one time, they had this pristine, they had this rock solid, they had this beautiful, tranquil, peaceful relationship with God. But, they listen to what folks say. They watch what folks do. They concentrate more on looking at what folks do and don't do than what God is doing for them. And because of this, their faith begins to decline. At one time, man, I was really on fire for the Lord. But man, I saw them folks down there arguing and carrying on. It just made me wonder, was I in the right church or not? Huh? That's what some of our visitors say sometimes. Come down here seeing us jumping at each other's throat and talking about each other and dragging each other through the mud and raking each other over the coals and stuff. Huh? And who caused their faith to decline. There are those who have diminished faith. Sometimes they get to a certain point in their lives, and just like Jesus gave the parable of the sower, they allow the cares, the concerns of this world, the riches and the pleasures of life, rob them of the faith that once held them in the proper relationship with God. At that point, if you don't do something and stop it, you get into disillusionment. Okay. Disillusionment means that you just become disillusioned. You know, the things that you really believed in God at one time, you start questioning them. Like, man, at one time I really believed in Jesus. But you know what? I heard somebody say that he wasn't nothing but a Jew, a carpenter. And that's all he was, just another man. I really believe that the church of Christ was the Lord's church. But I just can't see how that all of these denominations out here, that God, how could God reject all of these folks? I used to believe all of that quote unquote Church of Christ doctrine, but I don't believe that no more. I believe any church will do. It doesn't matter how you worship God as long as your heart is right. It doesn't matter what the Bible says, it's what you feel up here. When you start hearing folks talk like this, they have declined to a point of disillusionment. Sometimes they run across a passage of scripture that they're just not willing to accept. I've talked to people many times and you know, they'll say, well, you know, if what you're saying, Brother Browning, is right, then my grandma, she's died and she's gone to hell. And I just can't accept that. So rather than to accept what you're telling me and accept what the Bible is saying, I'd rather just reject faith in God altogether. Huh? Well, we have people do that all the time. Yeah. They get into disillusionment. You know, there's an example, I believe it's in the 6th chapter of John. Turn on John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, Jesus was walking with his disciples one day, and he was teaching them, and he was telling them that he was the bread that came down from heaven. And he said in verse number 53, then said Jesus unto them, verily I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I him in him. And the living Father has sent me. I live by the Father, so that he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. When he dropped down to verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Now notice that these folks were what? They were disciples. They were followers. But when Jesus hit them with that, that sounded like he was advocating cannibalism. I ain't gonna eat your body. What I look like eating somebody's flesh? I don't even eat pork, let alone eat another human being. What do you mean, drink your blood? And because of a hard saying, they became disillusioned. And the Bible says, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? Right. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? Okay. What if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? What if you see me going to heaven? Would that make you feel better? It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. Okay. You're losing your faith in me. You become disillusioned. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not. The Lord can tell you, you can try to fool us. Okay. You can try to put on a show for us and make us think, oh, the holy, hallelujah, Lord, praise the Lord, and glory to God, and all that kind of stuff y'all be doing. But the Lord know the amount of faith. I'm trying to get you to examine yourself because God already know. I'm trying to get you to be honest with yourself so that you can do something about it. He already knew who they were that believed not. And then he said unto them, he knew who they were from the beginning, who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore, he said unto thee, that no man shall come to me except it were given him of him from the Father. And then as we drop down a few more verses, verse number 66. From that time, many, not just one or two, but many of his disciples went back. Why did they go back? Because they were disillusioned. At one time they had faith in God, but now they are disillusioned. They went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, out of all them disciples, only 12 of them left, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Simon Peter said, Lord, where else there is? We have no choice but to keep following you. There's no place else to go but to keep following you, because you are the one that have the words of eternal life. There are those, I'm sure, even in our audience right now, at one time your faith in God was strong, but because of some of the hard sayings of the Lord, because of the cares and the concerns of this life, you've gotten so wrapped up and involved in trying to live from day to day. You're looking at what folks doing and not doing in the church and all that, and you become so discouraged that you become disillusioned. And if you're honest with yourself tonight, you can say, you know what, Brother Browning, I'm at that stage right now. I'm disillusioned. My faith is not as strong as it used to be. Be honest with yourself. Examine your faith to see where you are with the Lord. Then the next point in this decline in faith is hopelessness. I would venture to say we may have a few here tonight that feel really hopeless. My faith, I've been declining in my faith for so long that I just don't ever see myself ever coming back. I don't ever see myself back where I used to be. But you know there's hope even now, even though you may feel hopeless. You may feel despair. There's even hope right now. Remember the book of Revelation? God told the church in the book of Revelation, he says, stir up. Stir up the fires again. Stir up the gift that's in you. Stir up those things. Do something about it. Don't just stand there and feel hopeless and twiddle your thumbs. Get up and do something about it. I know how it feels to feel a sense of hope. I've had things going in my life. I may have told you this once before, too. I remember there was an incident in my life, I was having such a hard time. I remember one day I was laying on the sofa and my Bible was this far away. And I was so depressed about what was going on and looked like that wasn't going to never, ever, things were never going to change. It was going to always be like, and I said, Lord, I just can't see how that this going to be like this the rest of my life. And I looked over and I saw my Bible and I said, if I could just read the Word of God, I think I'd feel a little better. If I could read a scripture from the Lord, that I could feel a little better about this situation. And I didn't even have the energy for a moment to reach over. I didn't have the strength to reach over and pick up my Bible. But I looked at that situation, I said, you know, this ain't nothing but the devil. I know where my strength comes from. I know where my health comes from. And I talked to myself, and I finally got the courage to reach over and grab my Bible. And I started going through it and reading a few verses of scripture. I'll never leave you nor forsake you.
All right.
I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. Don't worry about what man can do. Keep trusting in the Lord.
All right.
The Bible just, and as I read those scriptures, I began to get my strength again.
All right.
I said, Lord, this is where my power come from. We've all got to do that. When we feel that sense of hopelessness, we have got to find, not in the songbook, but we've got to find strength from the Word of God. Some of you right now may be feeling a sense of hopelessness. As this decline continues on, the next stage in this decline is spiritual death. There are those of you tonight who are spiritually dead. Oh, you physically here. But as far as anything spiritual is concerned, you have no connectivity whatsoever with anything spiritual. You're not concerned about the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the early church. Anything spiritual, you're not interested in that at all. All you're interested in is the here, the now, and the me. It's all about me and my existence and how I feel and what I want, my desires, my life, my expectations. When you start hearing people talk about my, me, you know what they're talking about? They ain't talking about nothing as far as I'm concerned. Because it ain't about you. It's all about God and bringing glory and honor to Him. And if you made to look like a fool in order for God to be glorified, hallelujah. If I look like a fool and God is glorified by me looking like a fool, hallelujah. And praise the Lord. Didn't Paul say that he was a fool for Christ's sake? Oh man, you mean you let somebody beat you just because of a dead Jew that claimed to be up in heaven somewhere? You mean that you'd go through all of that? You'd be shipwrecked and you'd go to all these, be locked up in jail for years and all that? But Paul said, I'm a fool for Christ. You can talk about me if you want to. Misunderstand me if you want to. But as long as God is glorified in what I do, I don't care what people say about me. That's what's important. Some of you right now are spiritually dead. And then after spiritual death, there comes physical death. And that's exactly where the devil wants you. He wants you to keep declining. He wants you to lose, diminish your faith. He wants you to become disillusioned, and he wants you to feel this sense of hopelessness. And eventually, he wants you to be spiritually separated from anything and anybody that can help you in a spiritual sense in order that you might die physically. Jesus said this, that if you die in your sins, where I am, you can't come. That's what the devil's trying to get you to do right now. He's trying to get you to separate yourself from God and keep your faith, keep you tumbling downhill until he finally gets you to a point where you're separated spiritually from God and anything associated with God, and then you die. And the Satan says, I won, you lose, and I win. That's what's going on. But even in a situation like this, there is still hope for those who are willing to find hope. John 8:21 and 8:24, Jesus said, if you die in your sins where I am, you can't come. And then there are those who find themselves spiritually dead. And they say, you know what? I'm going to do something about it. I'm not going to let the devil rob me of my relationship with God. My life is going to be transformed. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The key to turning this whole thing around, this whole decline, is to have a new mindset. The new mindset involves you putting your confidence and trust in God. And God, don't get me wrong, I'm not going to tell you it's easy. Because the devil is not going to let it be easy. Brother Owens, am I right about it? Oh, the devil going to let you be unemployed for a long time. Am I right about it? And you know what God will do? God said, put him to the test. Brother Owens down there, oh, Lord, please give me a job. I need a job. And the devil said, no, I ain't ready to get, I'm going to see how long, I'm going to break him down. Mm-hmm. And the Lord says, let me see you do it. I know I got confidence in Dwayne. He's going to trust in me. He's going to put his confidence in me. He's going to wait. He's not going to fall to pieces. I'm telling you, bro. And that's what it's all about, is you almost, because God knows what you can do. And God will bless you, just like he did Job. God says, devil, have you considered my servant Job? He's a right and upright man, and he's just a great guy. The devil said, oh yeah, he's so great. But the only reason he's so great is because you build a hedge around him. You protect him so much. And you've given him so much stuff. Who wouldn't want to serve somebody like you? You gave him land and houses and car. He got a beautiful family. He's got his bills paid. He's got money. He's got everything. So who wouldn't serve you like that? But I guarantee you one thing. Take all of that stuff away from him and he will curse you. He'll reject you. And through the permissive will of God, God says, put him to the test. I know Job. And I know his faith in me is not going to waver. Or there are going to be times that he's going to say, Lord, you know, he's going to question things, but he's not going to break faith in me. There were times that old Job got to questioning things. He was broken down and his friends were talking about it and said, Job, something must be wrong, something going on in your life that you ain't telling us. Because God wouldn't let nobody suffer like this. God wouldn't let nobody suffer like this unless he was doing something wrong. Job said, I haven't done anything wrong. Job was to the point where he was almost broke down. But God had to call him in question. God said, wait a minute, Job. Where were you? Where were you, Job, when I laid the foundations of the world? Where were you when I caused the ocean to come and I said, ocean, come and hold it right there. Stop right there as far as you go. Where were you when I put all of the stars and the planets? Where were you when I made all of those things? Who are you to question me? Job said, you got a point there. I guess I'm going to have to keep on trusting God. Are y'all with me, church? Through this transformation, you can find your way back to faith in God by having a new mindset. As we bring the lesson to a close tonight, you can come back to faith in God from hopelessness. There's hope for you. The Lord will help you to get back if you're willing to. If your faith has been diminished, you can get back. The Lord will help you to get back. If you've been disillusioned, you can get back. The Lord will help you to get back. If you're here tonight and you see yourself in any one of these situations, why don't you admit it? Confess your fault. We'll pray for you. And I'm sure God will forgive you and God will help you to get back where you need to be. Amen. If you're here and you stand subject to this invitation, please come as together we stand and we sing.